Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
Brought to you by NCTA, the Internet and Television Association. America is on an important mission to connect every community to high-speed internet and close the digital divide. But the FCC is pushing sweeping new regulation that will derail progress, stranding billions of dollars and leaving millions of rural Americans without access to reliable internet. The FCC's plan will be a net fatality. Learn more at ncta.com. Brought to you by NCTA, the Internet and Television Association. America is on an important mission to connect every community to high-speed internet and close the digital divide. But the FCC is pushing sweeping new regulation that will derail progress, stranding billions of dollars and leaving millions of rural Americans without access to reliable internet. The FCC's plan will be a net fatality. Learn more at ncta.com.
It's the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Welcome to the show. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Try the Tour V-Ball today by the club at Sea Palms, by RSM, proud sponsor of the RSM Classic going on now, giving back to our community, and by Club Car, the leader in sport utility and personal vehicles. On the show, we're going to talk with Todd Thompson, the tournament director of the RSM, also talk about his son, who just completed his rookie year on the PGA Tour, Davis Thompson. And then we're also going to talk to Dr. Moe about his experience at the Ryder Cup and how to play Seaside and Plantation. And maybe this year we may have a local win the tournament. And speaking of RSM, we're talking with Andy Bosman, the chief marketing officer for RSM. And Andy, welcome back to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate you having me. This sounds like a great show. I may have to stick around for all this here today.
Well,
I'll just be a little late getting out to the course.
Well, I cannot believe that this is year 14.
That makes two of us, Rich, but how awesome is it?
It's pretty cool. I mean, it really is. And you're here for the whole week. You've got a busy week. You've got pro-ams. Talk to me a little bit about what's going to go on this week as far as from your standpoint with RSM.
Yeah, you know, this really is a special week, and from so many standpoints. I mean, yes, throughout the week, we've got our Monday Pro-Am, we've got our Wednesday Pro-Am, we'll have about 250 of our clients coming through, which is such a special opportunity to introduce them to the Golden Isles, many of whom have never been here, but I guarantee you they'll be back.
Yeah.
But Rich, as you know from our past conversations, the thing I look forward to most are all the different things we're doing related to charity and the different stories and the different opportunities to give back and the PGA Tour Wives Wiffle Ball Tournament, our Wiffle Ball game on Tuesday, and the charity putting event Wednesday afternoon, and just some other special things throughout the week that really just get back to the heart of RSM and the Davis Love Foundation and Sea Island about giving back to our communities.
And you have, over the past 13 years, raised over $35 million. Do you think that this year you might hit the big 4-0?
You know, I'm going to be very disappointed if that number doesn't start with a four after this year. Knowing the passion and the energy our national leaders and our teams have put in, I'm expecting we're going to jump over that four number.
Now, that's incredible. I mean, that's a wonderful thing, not only for the tournament and being such a small market. That's a huge amount of money to be able to give back to charities.
You know, it really is. And And Rich, what really strikes me the most, and I would share with all of your listeners, that's a wonderful number. But it's the 500s here. And honestly, the 100, it's the small amounts that at the end of the day for the individuals we're impacting makes such a huge difference. And when we think back to that, you know, that number and getting over 40 million at a point here, there's more than 450 charities across the U.S. and Canada, including here in the Golden Isles, that have been impacted by that. And when I can't even imagine the number of individuals, and that's really the cool part to me, whether it's the Boys and Girls Club, the Special Olympics, the Firebox Fund, just other organizations here that benefit from it. And you see the difference it makes, and it's truly humbling.
Yeah, it really is. And many of your RSM players are also going to be here for the tournament.
Well, I think we got them all this year. So, obviously Davis and Zach, Chris Kirk, who's had just a wonderful year, great to see him running back up the leaderboards. And then Kyle Westmoreland will also be here, coming off his rookie season here on the PGA Tour.
Which is incredible. Let's talk about, you have a contract through 2025. Have you had any discussions with the PGA Tour, with Davis, with your group about what happens after that?
We've had conversations. Obviously, we speak frequently with Davis and Mark and Todd. We care so much about this event. We love our partnership with the Love Foundation. The impact we've had on charities, you and I have talked about, and we can think of nothing we would rather do than continue to be involved in giving back. I wouldn't say we've spoken specifically to the tour yet. I think they know there's a mutual interest. There's a lot of movement in the tour right now, and a lot of that just needs to kind of work its way through so we can make sure that the impact is aligned with what we want to do. But you know, our commitment to the Golden Isles, we don't expect that to change.
That's great. I mean, a lot of people will be thrilled to know that we will still have a tournament here. I also want to talk to you a little bit about your experience over in Rome during the Ryder Cup, not the outcome that any of us wanted, but you had to have such an experience knowing that Zach is part of your team, and he was also the Ryder Cup captain. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is you can look at the outcome in two ways. And certainly the score was not the score we wanted. But I'll tell you what, watching Zach and the team and how they represented the United States, I couldn't have asked for a better outcome. So much class, dignity, how they interacted with the fans out there, how they interacted with each other, with Luke and the European team. It was just really cool to watch. And yeah, just the pride of we had an opportunity Friday to be in the chaos there on the first tee, which was so cool. And to watch Zach and to see him out there and to see his pride in representing our country and to know what it meant to him and to think of him as, you know, Team RSM was really cool to be out there. And we thoroughly enjoyed our trip. We enjoyed being there. The hospitality of the folks in Italy was fantastic. And, you know, we're going to get ours overseas here at some point. But I couldn't have been prouder of Zach and the team.
What are some of the things that maybe we did not hear about or see that maybe you were familiar with during the Ryder Cup, knowing that you were there with Zach?
You know, the things we see on social media, but we don't fully see behind them is the camaraderie between the teams.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a competition. And Thursday through Sunday, they go and they go hard and they compete as we would all expect they would. But when, you know, you have an opportunity just to watch how the teams interact during the week, all the things they're doing there in the community, the events they're at, how they're interacting with the fans out there during the practice rounds, to see the wives out there having such a great time and the families. And that's the part you just don't see on TV. My favorite picture from the week is as we were sitting up in the stands on the first tee on Friday, was Zach Kim and the kids out on the first tee and taking a family photo there. And when you watch the wives and when you watch their families being there and, you know, TV, you see the players. What you don't see is the entourage walking behind them and along the roofs. It's their families and the pride they have. And it's just so much fun to watch them that, you know, I probably spend more time watching that than I do the actual golf.
Yeah. Well, I had a chance to talk to Davis the other night at the Meet the Pros event that we had last week. And Davis said, you know, we kind of got, well, we got beat first thing on Friday. And he said, but after that, we played pretty good, just not good enough to come back from how far they were down.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, it's a game. And there's good days and there's bad days. And I'll tell you what, after being out there, you don't want to let that machine of the European crowd get going because they're going to ole you to death if you do.
Yeah. I hope I never hear that word again, ole. You know, this year the RSM kind of takes on a different path because it's more important for these players coming up here to the last event to try and make in the top 125, which has changed from what happened last year. That also has got to be exciting. And that, according to when I talked to Todd Thompson, the tournament director, he said that's increased their field quite a bit as far as quality players.
You know, it has. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of attention around the top 125, those guys that fully secure their card for next year. And, you know, there will be some movement, folks coming in and folks moving out based on their play here at the RSM. You know, in addition to that, what's interesting is you're also watching what's helped our field is getting into that top 50 that top 50. Also has some exemptions into some of the early big higher profile events that they're running next year, as well as, you know, great stories like Camilo Villegas and his win this past weekend. And, you know, here's a guy who honestly was on the outside looking in, and we were afraid we weren't going to see him at the RSM this year because he was potentially going to have to try to play in a Q school qualifier. And two phenomenal weeks, almost one, and then one in Bermuda. So you see a lot of that movement, and you know you can't forget winning any PGA Tour event. They get the 2-year exemption and into the Masters and into the Sony Tournament of Champions, and there's just a lot that comes with it. So yeah, when you look at the top 50 and the top 125 and then some of the other ones, we're really happy with the field. It's a great group. I tell you, Rich, the thing I love that continues here is we've also got a lot of young players. You've got a lot of folks who, you know, coming off Korn Ferry, and they're getting some of their earlier PGA Tour starts here, and guys that are, you know, newer to the tour that, you know, we've got a good history of first-time winners here, and it's always exciting. I think Josh Teeter is a good example. You know, lived here in the Golden Isles for a while, and Josh has worked his way back onto the tour from the Korn Ferry this year, and he'll be here as an exemption this week, and we're excited to see these guys tee it up.
Yeah, and I talked to Davis, and he had the Ford twins from UNC, and he said he was going to try and finagle his way to get them to play with him during the pro-am. That would be kind of cool since he also just finished working on Findlay, their golf course up at UNC.
Yeah, what a great story that is. Yeah, that would be fun.
Tell us about some of the other events that RSM has during this week, not necessarily with your clients, but just during the tournament.
Yeah, so we've got, you know, I mentioned the charity putting event, which we'll have Wednesday afternoon with the Boys and Girls Club and Special Olympics, which is always one of our favorites. You know, we'll have the Military Appreciation and First Responders Appreciation Day on Saturday, which is always such a cool experience. And in fact, we're out at the special tent on 9 each day during the tournament, speaking with a lot of our veterans and first responders and handing out hats and things for them. Sunday is such a cool day because not only is a tournament crown a champion, and we'll have our toast to the champion following that. It also is a culmination of the Birdies for Love program with the PGA Tour. So we've got, you know, the top 10 guys in that, eight of them are here. We'll be competing, and the guy that finishes off with the most birdies will get $300,000 to donate to a charity or a collection of charities. So just a lot of different cool events throughout the week. And then we may have a few tricks up our sleeve.
Yeah, you always do. And speaking of something that's very close to your heart, let's talk a little bit about the Aggies. I've seen you post some things on Facebook, and I know that's something that you're really, really proud of.
You know, I am. It's, you're wonderful. You ask me every year, you know, as your listeners may know, my daughter is now a junior at Texas A&M and the Corps of Cadets. This year she is Sergeant Major Bosman. Wow. So she is a Sergeant Major working with the commanding officer overseeing all the Air Force units down there. And it's so cool, Rich, to watch these young men and women who are in college and are dedicating so much because they want to give back to their country, and how they really just focus. And, you know, the college students, they have a good time, but, you know, they're out PTing every morning at 5:30. And when you watch the various things that they do at game day and whatnot, it really is, it's humbling. It lets you know our country's in great hands. And yeah, and for my daughter, she, you know, big event. I know you saw on social media, she got her Aggie ring, which a big deal down there. So we were down there a couple weeks ago for her to get her Aggie ring, which they do as juniors. And, you know, just to really celebrate the accomplishments, just these incredible young men and women.
Yeah, it really is. And I know you're proud, and we should be proud of all of those that are there, but all those that also serve and give us the opportunity to do what we do, have this tournament and kind of take care of us. But Andy, thank you enough for being with us. You're always a pleasure to talk with. The tournament will be another great tournament, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, thank you. And Rich, as always, thank you for your support and everything you do to bring our story and the story of the RSM and the Davis Love Foundation to all your listeners. We appreciate it.
No problem. Andy Bosman, thank you for being with us. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
Hi, this is Jay Blasey of Jay Blasey Golf Design, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Welcome back to the Back Nine Boys Golf Podcast. I'm Rich Stiles, and we have on with us Todd Thompson, the tournament director of the RSM Classic. And Todd, thanks for taking time during this busy time of the tournament to be with us.
Not a problem. We love doing it and love talking about the tournament and what we do over here with RSM.
Well, that's a great start, because RSM is a great tournament and obviously has been and will be a great partner for y'all.
Absolutely. We call them the best title in on the PGA Tour. We work really well together, both from the standpoint of how we want the event to run, how we donate money to charity, and you know, over 13 years, we're going into you're 14 starting next week. And, wow. You know, we've donated up through 13 years, over $35 million to charity.
That's incredible. I mean, I don't think a lot of tournaments that have been around for, you know, a little longer than that have had that opportunity to donate that much money.
Yes, sir. Very, very special to deal with them. And they have really a lot of good philanthropic ideas with their Birdies for Love program. And, you know, last year when we bumped over $35 million, that was with them doing over $6.2 or $3 million. What they did, it was incredible.
So you're going to possibly get to 40 after this year.
That's news to be determined here in a few days. I'm not going to steal any thunder, but it'll be another good year.
Yeah. As far as RSM this year, Todd, and you and I have talked, you know, prior to this interview about the different meaning of getting into the RSM being the last tournament of this season. Tell us a little bit more about that and how it's changed.
Okay. I'll try to make it as clean and easy as I can with all the changes, but the first number is 125. So if a tour player ends the season, which will be our event, inside 125 on the FedEx Cup point list, they will have a full exemption into 2024.
Okay.
2024 will be the first calendar year of the events since the wraparound season started years ago. The other cool thing that people can follow on TV during the event and here would be anybody who finishes our event on the FedEx Cup list 51 through 60 will earn an exemption into the first two signature events of 2024, which are Pebble Beach and Genesis, which are the right. $20 million purses.
Right.
Brought to you by NCTA, the Internet and Television Association. America is on an important mission to connect every community to high-speed internet and close the digital divide. But the FCC is pushing sweeping new regulation that will derail progress, stranding billions of dollars and leaving millions of rural Americans without access to reliable internet. The FCC's plan will be a net fatality. Learn more at ncta.com.
Well, that's a big deal. And does that show up in the field that you have as far as those folks that are battling to be in the top 125?
I mean, I think so. And, you know, two things. One, our area, as you know, is very blessed with the number of great players that live here and train here in St. Simons and Sea Island. Secondly, I was looking at the world ranking points the other day for our field, and we have 11 in the top 50 coming this year. We only had six last year.
Wow.
We have, I believe it was seven of the top 50 in the FedEx. Oh, no, sorry. Seven of the top 30 in the FedEx Cup points list.
That's pretty incredible. And do you attribute that to this new positioning of the RSM and the new PGA Tour schedule?
Yeah, it has something to do with it. And, you know, we've always said when we get guys here, they love coming here and they'll come back. You know, the only thing we run up against every year is the DP World Tour, their final event of the year, similar to our FedEx Cup finals, is also going on the same week. So we do lose a few of the foreign players, but, you know, heck, we got an open champion right here in our backyard that'll be playing this year, that and Brian Harmon.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a great year for him and his coach, Justin Parsons. And, I mean, that's awesome. And all the local guys are going to be playing in the tournament.
Yes, sir. The only I haven't really seen anybody that's not. They're all committed. Everybody from Harris to Brian to Keith Mitchell to Ben Griffin, Davis Thompson, all of JT Poston, Patton Kizire, all of them are playing this next week. So it'll be great for a hometown crowd.
One of the things that I have always wondered is, I mean, the winner has always been, if I can remember the board in your office, between 15 and 21 under. But locally, we've not had one of our guys win. How hard is it for them to play kind of in their home field? And their schedule just totally changes.
Yeah, I think it does with friends and family coming in town. You know, they're hosting people at their houses, which, you know, they're normally staying in a hotel room somewhere or a VRBO type home at another golf tournament. People are asking them for tickets, you know, when they come to town. It's just a different schedule for them. Instead of leaving here, going somewhere, now the people coming to watch them are coming here to watch them, and they're asking for all those things and going to dinner and all that kind of stuff. So it does throw them off a little bit, but, man, it sure would be great to see a hometown player to win 1 year, if not this year.
All right, let's go to the exemptions. How many letters, emails, messages, phone calls do you get for people that want to be given an exemption to play in the RSM?
I would say on average each year is roughly 60 guys, anywhere from amateurs to current PGA Tour members who don't have full status to older PGA Tour members who are kind of in that in between end of their career on PGA Tour and getting into Champions Tour, all the above. A 15-year-old this year. I had a 15-year-old reach out.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Wow. All right. So you've kind of made most of the decisions on the exemptions. How do you and your team kind of gather all the information, and what do you look at in order for someone to get an exemption?
You know, one, it's not all about how well they play, because a lot of guys that do reach out are all really quality, good players. You know, they may have had an injury or just didn't play well the year before. And now they're not fully exempt, but you know, we look at stories, we look at, hometown, if they're near here, any connections to the area. Like one example, we gave one to Fred Biondi, played at University of Florida. Their team won the national championship last year. He won SECs on Seaside last year. So, you know, Fred got a spot, gave one to Ben Carr from Georgia Southern, local, you know, player in the area.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, he was a runner-up in the USAM last summer, not in 23, but in 22. And then, like, another example, Ben Coles. Ben Coles just won the money title on the Corn Ferry in 2023, and he'll have his full status on, you know, on the tour in 2024. But the way the calendar is right now, he's not exempt. He will be next year, but this, you know, so we gave him a spot to get started before 2024 starts.
Yeah, and you also gave an exemption to Josh Teeter from Kentucky that used to live here, moved to Kentucky, but he got in the top as far as the Corn Ferry Tour to get his PGA Tour card for next year.
Yes, he was top 30, so he's got his card, and felt like giving him a start. And then one of the other cool stories with a tie-in is David Ford won the Jones Cup last winter.
Right.
We always give the Jones Cup winner a spot. He goes and he plays at University of North Carolina. Well, he's a twin. Well, actually, he's a triplet, but his twin brother, Maxwell, just transferred to North Carolina from University of Georgia and had a great fall. Davis and Mark just finished renovations at Finley Golf Club up in Chapel Hill. So we tied that together, and so we get the twins playing this year under the sponsor exemptions. So that'd be David and Maxwell Ford. So you can come out and watch those guys as well.
Yeah, I kind of watched them when they were playing over in St. Andrews, and boy, they can really play. And then watched them at the Atlanta Athletic Club, where UNC was also, both of them can play. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yes. So a good tie in there to the University of North Carolina and to Davis and Mark, who both went there. And those are the kind of stories we look for, so that it's bringing attention to the tournament, with the main goal always is how much money can we raise for charity.
And I know RSM has been a partner, as you said, you're going into the 14th year. With all this revamping and going on with the PGA Tour, can you share with us, because I still have people coming up and saying, is RSM still going to be here?
Yes, their contract with us is through 2025 as of right now. So they like what they do. They like bringing customers and guests and their people to Sea Island. It's a great experience for them, and they can entertain and build business and build relationships. So, you know, they love what they do. They love what they do with us, with the foundation. And, you know, as of right now, we're through 2025, and we're always hopeful that negotiations come up where we can extend that contract down the road.
And this RSM, besides Davis being the host, it really puts a lot of pressure on his time as far as all the activities and all the things that he has to host and be at in bringing the tournament to Sea Island.
Have you ever redone chores the right way? Do you clean before your cleaning service arrives? If you answered yes to either of these questions, you're a clean freak. And at Cat's Pride, like you, we're freakishly committed to keeping your home sanitary. That's why we've invented the first and only antibacterial litter that destroys 99.9% of odor-causing bacteria in your cat's litter box. That's the bacteria you can't see but can smell. Yeah, it's clean freaking awesome. Cat's Pride, the only antibacterial cat litter.
Of course, but it's Davis. He loves doing it. He doesn't say no. He loves to show people Southern Soul. I think he's doing a podcast there next week with Rex Hoggard. He loves to show people the island. He loves people know that the resort is strong, that St. Simon's community really supports golf. That's why he does it. He and Robin have a great thing going where we can have a golf tournament. We can have fun. We can bring people to this area and raise money for charities.
Yeah. I mean, Davis is pretty involved in a couple of times. He's also been in contention. But as you say, with all the other things going on, sometimes it's hard to concentrate on the golf course. And speaking of on the golf course, your son, who's also been a Jones Cup winner, has played the last few years. How would you rate, as his dad, Davis's rookie season?
I'm very proud of what he's done. I mean, he's gone out there in the new world. I mean, he did play Korn Ferry for a year, so you get your feet wet there. But
right.
You know, he's progressed. He's learning the travel. He's learning the golf courses for the first time, you know, the first go around, just getting acclimated. You know, when you come out of college, you're with five or six guys every time you travel.
Right.
When you come out and you jump out there, and if you're single, he's married now, but when he first started, he was single. You know, it's a different deal. I mean, kind of getting, you're starting now playing with guys you've watched on TV for years, and now you're a peer and you're trying to fit in. So, but he's done well. We're very proud of him, Lee, and I'm very proud of what he's done. He's played great. You know, he's number 74 right now in the FedEx Cup numbers. So he has his card for next year, and he has a goal to get in that 51-60. So he'll have to play really well during the RSM and see if he can get there.
When you and I talked about Davis, and in the beginning, I think you were saying he was being a little bit too aggressive sometimes. But obviously, as he's played more and played some of these courses that he hadn't played before, it seems I always see his name moving up that leaderboard. And, you know, it looks to me like he had a great rookie season. But how has he changed as far as his approach to the game, Todd?
Oh, wow. That's, one, fitness, taking care of your body.
Gotcha.
Got to take care of your body. It's hard to travel so much, to be sitting all the time, either in airplanes or cars, or you're playing a whole lot more golf. I mean, if you do a full week, you're playing Monday in a pro-am, practice Tuesday, you might be playing Wednesday in the pro-am. Mm. And if you make the cut, you're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But he's learned how to practice better. With more goals when he's practicing, instead of just going out hitting balls or hitting pitches or playing. He's learned how to use his time better and to manage his body, manage his time, way he approaches things. Big thing is working on your attitude. It's a grind out there, and to be able to, hey, I made a bogey. Let's go make birdie on the next hole, instead of I made a bogey right. And I'm mad, and now I made another bogey. And that's been a big test, because you're playing against the best in the world. You better be locked in. But he's adjusting. He's doing great. And we're very proud of him.
Well, I know you are. It's just great to see him out there. And it sounds like another great, great field. I know you're looking forward to it. And weather looks decent. We'll have to see about that. But Todd, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be with us.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. And have another great, great tournament.
Thank you very much, Rich, and have a good day. Thank you.
All right, you too.
This is Chan Reeves from the Sea Island Golf Performance Center, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. We're with Dr. Mo, the sports psychologist of the Sea Island Golf Performance Center. And Dr. Mo works with a lot of the pros that are here and a lot of other folks, college, high school kids around the country. Dr. Mo, thank you for being with us on the Back Nine Boys Podcast.
Absolutely. Always love being with you, Rich.
Okay, so the last time you and I texted, you were in Rome for the Ryder Cup. Obviously, you were pretty busy. How was that experience for you at the Ryder Cup across the pond?
Well, other than the final outcome, it was an awesome experience. I had been to other team events before, but as an instructor, not really a part of the team. And so to be included as an actual part of the team, my job was a cart driver. I ended up mainly driving Jim Furyk around, because there was a little bit going on with Netflix that really was out of my realm of expertise. And so I let Brad handle some of that. I rode with Zach a fair amount, but it was, I was either with Zach or Jim Furyk. And I mean, it was a fabulous trip. And it was great to be a part of the team and be in the team rooms and being in on some of those discussions. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I was very honored to be asked by Zach to be a part of it.
And what was going on with Netflix? Because I know they wanted to film inside the team room, but the team and Zach and the co-captains kind of did not want to do that. So what was the issue then if it was all, you know, settled that they weren't going to get in the team room?
Well, it was a little bit was, I guess there's supposed to be a buffer on the golf course in terms of how close they could get in certain places. I don't really know the specifics. I didn't really try to delve into it, but it had to do with, like, you know, when they're not hitting shots and whatever, you know, you can pick up conversation and you can be here. But, you know, if a guy's on the tee box, you know, you can't have a microphone, you know, and God, obviously Netflix has done a lot of golf already and they know how to do it. And I know several of those guys and they're very professional, but it was when you have that many different groups working together between the U.S. team, the European team, the PGA of America, you know, it just gets a little complicated at times. So,
yeah, gotcha. So what was the team room like during the 3 days of the Ryder Cup? I know they had a couple days to practice. What was the team room like? I mean, it just seems like they were all together. They were, you know, hey guys, we can do this. And then you had that first day where they got smoked.
Yeah. I mean, the team room was a lot of eating, to be honest. we had some great food and the people there at Marco Simone were awesome. So it's basically just who you would think would be in the team. It's the captain, the vice captains, players, the caddies, cart drivers. You know, it's a part of the clubhouse, obviously, that's been sectioned off. And so, I mean, that was mainly who was in. And then when you had the locker room upstairs where you had like some of the recovery stuff and, you know, but so the team room was very relaxed. It was very cordial, especially in the first 3 days. You know, it's just like any other event. If you go to a major or another pro event, you know, on the PGA Tour, I mean, basically, as you get closer and closer to competition, things get, quote, I guess, more serious and guys get a little more quiet and that sort of thing. But I thought, you know, the vibe in the team room and the camaraderie and everybody, it was very good. Now granted, we're not in there a ton. Like I said, we're in there mainly when we're eating and there's kind of a break because most of the day you're out on the golf course.
Right.
So, but, and then, you know, Friday morning was interesting just in the case. And I've told this to several people, but, you know, I think it wasn't that they want it more and we didn't want it. It doesn't come down to desire. I don't believe that. Both teams really want to win. I think, you know, what happens sometimes is you're going out there and the best way I can explain it is for most of these guys, it's the biggest thing they've ever played in. And the next biggest thing are majors. And without getting into, you know, there is a different feel for them, but as you're getting prepared during the week and you're kind of drawing on your own experience, it's natural to go back to what you've done in some of your bigger events. But the mindset in a major is basically when I go out here, I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to get behind the eight ball. It's a long tournament, that sort of thing. Right. And so, and I have not spoken directly with any of these players. So all of this is just me trying to read body language and trying to get a sense for what's going on and maybe talking with some of the caddies afterward and that sort of thing. But I think that, you know, we basically went out and approached it like a major. And I think the European team went out and approached it like a Monday qualifier. And they were much more aggressive. They were, they were playing to achieve birdies and we were playing to avoid bogeys. I mean, that's the easiest way I could explain it. And so if you look at the first four holes, and I'm sure somebody has the stats on this, but the first four holes over however many matches there are, that's 16. So 16 times four is 64 holes. Out of the 64 opening holes, you know, they probably won 40 something of them.
Yeah.
And so we just got into deep holes, right out of the gate. And even if you watch most of our players, if they missed, they missed it in the right rough. And most of them are right-handed. So I don't know if that was tension or if that's kind of a little bit, tentative. But, we just were playing from behind right out of the gate. And I think at least some of that is due to kind of the explanation I was just given.
Yeah. Do you think they were playing protectively or trying to aim the ball? I mean, you and I have talked about aiming, that puts too much stress on you. You just need to let it flow and let your mind not wander and just kind of focus. Okay, it's going to break right. We're going to do that. Do you think they were putting too much pressure on themselves to come back from the hole that they were in?
Maybe, but we played pretty good in the second half of the days. And obviously we played pretty good in singles and it got to a point there where you're like, man, we might even pull this thing out. But, I didn't see us doing a ton of aiming on the greens. We got in some trouble with our ball striking right out of the gate. But I don't know if it was so much aiming as it was probably just like tension or decelerating at impact.
Gotcha.
That's a common mistake is you think you want to go ahead and swing full. And then right at the last minute, your mind says, hey, but don't hit this in the right bunker. And, you know, you slow down and decel. So, but again, I would have to speak with guys individually, which I didn't do. But just kind of talking to some of the caddies afterward and I'm inside the ropes as I'm driving the cart, right? And just kind of reading their body language. And sometimes you would see, I didn't really see aiming in putts, but like you'd have a fast putt and we would leave it like short on the low side. And like it ended up maybe 4 inches from the hole, but it really never had a chance of going in. Right.
Yeah, right.
And so I just thought that was, kind of indicative of our start. We got behind early and so we were having to kind of play catch up, and you could make a fair amount of birdies on that golf course. But it was, an alternate shot. It just ramps up the pressure when you can't make a mistake. You don't want to get down in alternate shot.
So. Yeah, and mistakes were made, and it was hard sometimes to come out of those. All right, let's go to Sunday, prior to singles. You're way behind.
Yep.
What was Zach like? What were the co-captains like? What were the players like? I know the game plan was do the best you can. We got to get a lot of points, and let's get out there and start getting them early.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the mindset for everybody was determined. I mean, I don't think anybody felt like it was over. I think everybody felt like, hey, we got to have some things happen, but we've gained some progress from Saturday for sure. And Saturday night was when kind of we had the thing where Cantley played unbelievable down the stretch and made the putt and all that. So there was definitely some momentum going into Sunday. Really where we got hurt was Friday afternoon. We ended up having 3 half points. And if we could have had those 3 full points, I think the whole weekend, might have been different. We still might have lost for sure, but we just wouldn't have been so far behind. But I think the mindset of the players was determined. And I think the mindset of Zach and the vice captains was, hey, play this thing out. And if any person were going out there in one match, do you believe you could win your match? Absolutely. So there's no reason we can't sweep them, Statistically, that's probably not going to happen. And I don't know, it's probably never happened, but you got to believe that, okay, yeah, we'll take our guy against your guy. in a one day match.
Right.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it was not a defeatist attitude by any means.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you win as the captain, you get a lot of praise, great decisions, all that stuff. When you lose, you get a lot of criticisms. How has Zach, and have you talked to Zach since then? How has he been handling all the negativity that's come out of that?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it, I would say immediately after, in the sense of pretty much my job every day was to kind of meet with him in the morning and meet with him in the evenings and kind of go over some notes and give him some thoughts and kind of have some things prepared for him to look over, whether he chose to use them or not. So that was kind of my role with Zach. And so we talked about it immediately after. And then that was not a long discussion, as you might imagine. And then, on the plane ride back, I wrote down some notes and I want to say we got together as soon as like the Tuesday or Wednesday that we returned. And we talked about, some of those things. We talked about, Friday morning and just kind of maybe being a little bit more aware of that mindset and talking to the guys about this isn't a major and we got to go play to achieve. We talked about, I think, from a locker room standpoint or a culture standpoint, if you want to say that, what happens at a lot of tournaments happened to some degree at the Ryder Cup, where you get more serious as you get closer to competition. And so, Friday morning, maybe we should have had music playing in the locker room, or maybe we should have done things to make it a little bit lighter. The specifics of Zach's decisions, we didn't really go into terms of who got paired with whom or how he set up his team, because I was not really involved with that. That right. wasn't really my role. That was more of him and the vice captains. My right. role was to think more of, what can Zach be saying in this situation? What could Zach go say to this guy? Cause we see his match going the wrong way, or are there any things like that? But I was not really involved at all in the pairings and at that point, nor should I have been. Cause I mean, all those other guys have done this longer than I have.
Oh yeah.
In terms of how he's handled the criticism, I think he's handled it, the way you would expect anyone to. He doesn't like it. But he knows it comes with the territory. He knew it was going to be there. Kind of win, lose or draw. You're going to get more praise if you win and more criticism if you lose, obviously, like you just said. But I think, not just myself, a lot of people advised him not to get on social media afterwards and, doesn't really do anything helpful. And most 95% of the comments that are made online are by people who just want to express an opinion but don't really know the ins and outs and the details of what's going on. When we got back, I mean, we took some time to process it. We went through, like I said, I went through the notes that I had written down, and then it was all about, okay, hey, how do we want to spend our off season? And let's go get ready for RSM and kind of the things that we need to work on in your game to get you prepared for finishing the year strong and then starting 2024 the way we want to start. So,
all right. Well, let's move from the Ryder Cup to what you just talked about, the RSM. Interestingly enough, we've got a lot of pros. Zach's one of them. Davis Thompson's another one. You spent the day with Davis working on Seaside. Tell us how that went.
That went great. I think having a tournament here is always great. I think Todd and his staff do a great job of running it, and it's always first class. And obviously, they got the best host you could have in Davis, but Davis Love. And my day to day with Davis Thompson was very productive. We've been working pretty hard on his kind of game from about 50 yards and in. He's a wonderful ball striker at an early age in his career. But we've really been trying to hone in on his putting and his short game and that sort of thing. And So today we went out and did a lot of short game on Seaside. We just moved from hole to hole. We didn't really hit. The longest shot we hit was probably 30 to 40 yards on like 15, getting ready for that par five. And in case somehow you had to, you know, pitch out or hit it out of a bunker or whatever.
Right.
But we spent a lot of time because we know pretty much where the holes are going to be. And working on some of the skills and some of the shots specifically that he's been working on getting better at. And we did a little bit of putting, not as much, because even now we're, you know, I guess 3 days away technically from Monday. And then, the speed will still increase. I would say the speed this morning on the greens was probably in the neighborhood of, you know, 10 pretty, but if we get wind out there and they get firm, I mean, they get really fast.
Yeah. They get up to 13 or more. Yeah,
so, you know, we'll focus more on that Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday and then kind of going through the week. But so, yeah, a lot of it today was just, you know, hitting some of the shots that he's probably going to have, you know, that front pin on 14 on Seaside. You hit it to the middle of the green and that putt's going to be fast. So we did that. And then, you know, a very common place to miss it, let's say on, you know, number four Seaside with a back middle pin, as you're not sure about the wind and it goes long and you got that seemingly kind of vanilla pitch, but you got to cover, you know, 15 yards of fringe because it rolls far out there.
Yeah.
So just those types of things. And both of the par five greens on Seaside, 7 and 15, are pretty difficult in terms of they have a lot of movement in them. So we tried to hit some shots and, you know, like a bunker shot, because, you know, this is where you're going to hit it. If you miss, you're going to try to leave it in this bunker and that kind of thing, at least on 15.
Right.
So yeah, it was a lot of that kind of scenario, very specific scenario kind of practice today.
Well, maybe this year we'll have a winner from Sea Island on the RSM. It'd be nice. We haven't had one yet. I know we've been close with Chris Kirk, but then he moved. So I want to see somebody from here win this thing.
Yeah, that would be great. It's hard. I mean, it kind of just shows it's hard to play at home. And I don't think it's so much, you know, the distractions, although you do have some distractions and tickets and family. I think it's just guys really want to win. And they kind of, you know, get so, I don't know what, not amped up, but maybe amped up and a little bit impatient. Because one of the things that always shocks me is last year, as you remember, it's cold and windy, is how low these guys shoot. I mean, I think the last couple of years, the cut has been like four under. And I mean, I would have bet you anything the cut was going to be one or two under. I mean, so it's just, it's amazing when you get an entire field of professionals on a great golf course with really good greens, how low they can go. It's amazing.
Yeah. So. Well, let's hope this is the year. Dr. Mo, always a pleasure. Enjoy talking with you. Thanks for your insights on the Ryder Cup and most of all on RSM. Thanks.
Absolutely. Love being with you and look forward to doing it again. Take care, Rich.
All right, take care.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.
Brought to you by NCTA, the Internet and Television Association. America is on an important mission to connect every community to high-speed internet and close the digital divide. But the FCC is pushing sweeping new regulation that will derail progress, stranding billions of dollars and leaving millions of rural Americans without access to reliable internet. The FCC's plan will be a net fatality. Learn more at ncta.com.
Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?